This is Martha with Animal World's Tip of the Month for June. It may seem a little premature to be thinking about the 4th of July now, but it's not at all if you have a dog that is terrified by loud noises like fireworks, especially if you'd like to change that this year. It usually takes some preparation time, but it can be done and is pretty simple. So if you have a dog that is afraid of loud noises like thunder or fireworks, or if you have a young dog that will be experiencing the 4th of July for the first time this year, here's what you need to know to change the way your dog friend feels about fireworks, or to make sure your young dog never becomes afraid. First, let's be sure you know what not to do. None of us like it when our dog acts fearfully, and most of us, even though we have the best of intentions, do exactly the wrong things when our dogs show fear. For example, let's say you're with your dog at home when thunder bangs loudly outside. The dog startles and then begins to cower in fear. Our response is usually to try to calm and sympathize. Oh, poor baby, it's okay. Calm down. It's only thunder. Mommy doesn't like it either. Kiss, kiss, kiss. While we're petting and stroking the dog. Unfortunately, if you do this, you are acknowledging the fear and communicating to the dog that they are behaving appropriately and rewarding the fearful behavior. So their fear will actually become stronger and more deeply seated psychologically. In order to do the right thing under these circumstances, it's important to remember that dogs are pack animals. You, as their human, are supposed to be the leader of the pack. Dogs do follow the leader and tend to be monkey-see-monkey-doers. They are also, for the most part, simple-minded. So if you have a good sales pitch, you can convince them of almost anything. You, as the leader of the pack, must set the appropriate example. You do this by doing what I call jollies or by triggering a formal jolly routine. Either way, success requires you drumming up the actor or actress inside of you. But before we get to that, the first step is understanding and then teaching a jolly routine to your dog. A jolly routine is a word or a phrase that, when you say it, automatically makes your dog think of something wonderful and happy. You can have more than one jolly routine. In fact, I recommend that if there are things you do with your dog on a regular basis that he or she really enjoys, then take advantage of those things by reinforcing the trigger phrases. Let's say your dog likes to go for a walk, or a ride, or play ball. Then every time before you do those things, be consistent with the words you say that precede the activity. For example, you know you're going to take the dog for a walk. Before you start the physical part of the ritual, like getting the leash and your coat, begin the trigger phrase, "Let's go for a walk, let's go for a walk, oh boy, let's go for a walk," and repeat it several times before you go into action. That way your dog will react to the words or trigger phrase, not the physical act of actually going for the walk. Just in case you need a jolly trigger out while you're on a walk or playing a game, if your dog likes to eat, I recommend you teach one jolly routine related to a specific special food reward. A food reward, in order to be effective, only has to be large enough to taste. So pick a food that your dog really likes and that he won't get any other time. Make sure it's a food that can be broken up into small pieces like chicken or cheese. You can practice as many jolly routines as you want throughout the day, but there needs to be at least 2 hours between practice jollies. Start your jolly routine when your dog is not expecting it. Say he's asleep on the floor. Before you go into any physical action, remember you want your dog to react to the vocabulary, not the food. Begin saying the trigger phrase. By the way, the food is either already in your pocket and the dog doesn't know you have it, or it's still in the kitchen somewhere. Begin saying, oh boy cheese, let's get cheese, oh boy cheese. Repeat the phrase 5 or 6 times. Then get up and get goofy, exciting your dog as you continue to repeat the phrase. Do this for 2 to 3 minutes, then stop and give the dog the piece of food. If your dog is one of those rare ones that doesn't like food so much, you can do the same thing with their favorite toy or game. Practice the jolly routine until all you have to do is say the trigger phrase and the dog gets excited. Have all members of the family practice jollies. Do it all together as well as doing it separately. Once your dog is programmed, you're ready to use the jolly routine whenever your dog encounters a sound or situation that triggers fear. You hear fireworks? Immediately go into the jolly routine. Now, here's where being a good actor or actress comes in. Put on a good show as you are the leader and making the positive association with the noise. It won't take long before your dog will hear the fireworks and begin the jolly routine himself before you have a chance to. Start your preparation now and you should be good to go by the 4th of July, and even if you haven't done any prep, you can still use the basic concept whenever stuff happens. If you have always sedated your dog over the 4th, I suggest you get the tranquilizers, but prepare for and use jollies. You may find you will be returning using the sedatives after the fourth because you didn't need to use them. If you are raising a young dog and this will be their first fourth, your job is to pay attention and be prepared to do jollies on general principles whenever fireworks happen so your dog develops a positive feeling about them. Don't wait to see how the pup reacts. Do the jolly routine as a matter of course. In most cases, I think it's best to exclude your dog from 4th of July celebrations with fireworks as accidents can happen. Leave your dog at home, inside, with some soft music playing in the background. If you must take your dog to a party, make sure a responsible adult is supervising the dog and always keep the dog on leash around fireworks. Okay, there you have it. All you need to know to change the way your dog feels about fireworks. But if you still have questions, call me. And please stay tuned because Animal World will be right back.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how this rain goes, so come on, join in. Everybody, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love to stay. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears here, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the last hour of our Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbow edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And oh boy, I just can't tell you how wonderful it is to satisfy my oldies. And because I'm a doo-wop rock and roller type. I love music. And I love my yogi chants, but once in a while, it's just so much fun to hear the oldies. Like I said, I could have been in another life a rock and roll DJ, but only not the hard rock and roll, the doo-woppy kind of stuff. Ugh. I love it. All right, my guests in the studio, Jonna Rosewood, Ken Holmes, co-authors of Are You Still Kissing Frogs? Leap into Real Solutions to Attract Your Genuinely Committed Relationship. We're going to get right back to that. We're going to focus on conflict in resolution for this hour. And let's see, we've got a question about, could you talk about how some of those strengths can also become a weakness as well? So that's an interesting question, and I'm not quite sure what that means, but we'll get clarification on that. And maybe that means that some of the things on the list, the positive things, how they can turn into problems. And well, I don't know. I know that in some of the things that I was attracted to in a partner that I thought were really cool to start with, after a while, really ticked me off. You're like, oh, well, my husband. And who I have a better relationship now that he's on the other side with than I did. But he was a Virgo and very clean and very neat. And I thought that was just fabulous when I married him because I'm not. Oh, but it used to drive me nuts. You know, we're eating dinner, couldn't put the fork down. It was gone. I was like, wait a minute, I'm not done eating yet. So anyway, after a while, oh, and one of my last relationship, oh, Martha, I love to listen to you talk. And you are so smart. I could listen to you talk forever. While down the line, I know you have the gift of gab, but shut up.
Wow.
Okay, so that's what we're going there. We're going to the conflict stuff. But before we do that, I don't want to miss it. We are going to take care of current events. Hey, okie dokie. Speaking of current events, I want you to mark your calendars because after a very long absence, I have not taught communicating with animals and the human-to-animal transference since my mom died, because I had to take care of my dad and I stopped, and finally my arm has been twisted, and I will be teaching again. I start in August at East West Bookshop in Seattle. I will be doing my Communicating with Animals, Interspecies Telepathic and Empathetic Communication on Wednesday, August 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. I'll be doing the human-to-animal transference, and that's find out, you know, how what's going on with your animals isn't just them. It's a reflection of what's going on with you, so we got to fix you to fix your animals. And that would be on Tuesday, August 12th at 7 to 9 p.m., $15 each or $25 for both. How cool is that? I'm all into affordable. EastWestBookshop.com or 206-523-3726. Let's see here. There's a special 2-day pet first aid course at Northwest School of Animal Massage on Vashon, July 12th and 13th. And you can check that out at www.nwsam.com. And by the way, if you can't write this stuff down, wait till you get home to your computer. Go to marthanorwalk.com, click on current events. You'll get that. You'll get all the details and more. Annual ARF, Animal Rescue Foundation Fundraiser, Golden Paw Gala, Saturday, June 28th. So that's next Saturday. It's $45. You get can get tickets at Brown Paper Tickets. More information, 425-257-6273. Comedy by Raise the Woof. Silent auction, raffles, door prizes, food, wine, beer, and tours of the shelter because it's benefiting Everett Animal Shelter, and the event will be at the shelter. Okay, new and happening today, dog adoption event at Sierra Fish and Pets on Grady Way in Renton from now, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m., a dog adoption event down in Renton, stop by Sierra Fish and Pets. Northwest Stream Center, Wednesday, June 25th, Way of the Trout. It's free, but call for reservations. And here's a 4th of July deal at Homeward Pet Adoption Center. Free microchips for the 4th. It's a limited time offer while supplies last. Next Friday, June 27th, 4 to 7 p.m., and Saturday, June 28th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at Homeward Pet Adoption Center. And all animals brought in for chips must be spayed or neutered. And I assume you probably need to bring proof of that. And then ARF's 6th annual wine and cheese live auction at Black Zia Cantina in Burien. Black Zia Cantina. How about that? That sounds better. I was going to say, what's a cantina? Well, it's not a cantina. It's a cantina. I just dropped the N. Okay, and that's June 27th, 7 to 9 p.m. $25 donation gets you two drinks and a raffle ticket, cheese and raw desserts from Deception Delights, 21 and over event. Okay, I think that's all we have time for. I just want to let you know that next week, remind you, it's Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends with Kathy in the studio, Christy, at an animal event on the East Coast. She will be calling in and reporting on that. Kathy will check in with all of our regulars, but she'll also have Our friend and member of the Animal World family, Peggy Kaler, will be in the studio with Kathy, and she'll talk to you about Westar Mortgage and all that's going on in the mortgage lending business right now. But she also will be representing Cowgirl Spirit Horse Rescue. And then all kinds of cool little Kathy touches. So be sure and be here next week for Kathy's sort of like a solo run on Animal World here. So we're all looking forward to that. I will be at Temple with Jana. And speaking of all of that, we left off here with All You're Still Kissing Frogs, getting ready to go into the conflict resolution. And I think, first off, Ken, you had a very interesting explanation of the word conflict.
You may have seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the father would explain to the daughter that every English word had a root from the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a little bit of Latin in my background, and the word conflict comes from the Latin conflictus, conflictere, and con means together, and flict means to strike, so to strike together. So if we look at that word, we could say that there has to be two opposing viewpoints or two different people having striking at each other.
Yeah, to have conflict. So it takes two, basically.
Yeah, and it might even, we could imagine that it actually has a beginning and it escalates to a more advanced level of conflict. So I have a story that I could tell that kind of illustrates
that. Just head right there.
And this story is about myself and two dogs, but the principles involved in the story really are an analogy to about any kind of conflict, including conflict between people or perhaps even conflict of one's own thoughts. The dog story is where I was jogging down the street in a hot Texas summer sun, and there were no trees, no cars around. It was just wide open spaces and a couple of houses. And as I reached a certain point in the street, there were two dogs that raced off of the front porch. One was a big black 100-pound lab, and the other one was a 100-pound German Shepherd. And they were growling and barking and snarling and sprinting toward me, and they were definitely in the attack mode. There was no way for me to outrun them. There was no way for me to fight them. There were two of them, one of me. And so the only thing I could do was to just stand there and relax, because I knew that dogs can smell fear and they can sense it probably by smell and sight. So basically I just hung my hands at my side, relaxed my shoulders, took a deep breath, calmed my mind, and was basically ready and accepting of whatever was going to happen, because there was nothing I could do about it anyway. So
what a brilliant soul, and how in control of yourself to be able to relax under those circumstances.
There were not many other choices available.
Well, yeah.
So here was a lab on one side of me, snapping and growling and lunging, lunging about 2 feet with jaws snapping and jaws closing and snap teeth snapping 1 inch from my fingertips on one side, and a German Shepherd on the other side lunging 2 or 3 feet through the air, hitting the pavement and jaws and teeth snapping together just about an inch from my fingertips on my other side. And these two dogs were alternately snapping and growling and basically looking like they were just going to tear me apart. And I just basically had to remain calm and remind myself that, well, if they do bite me, don't jerk away, because a tear is worse than a puncture wound. And so I noticed that they weren't biting me. They weren't snapping. It seemed like they were trying to cause me to run or get fearful or react in some way by all of their posturing, is what it amounted to, because they weren't actually attacking me. They were just threatening to. And so I basically slowly moved my hands slightly, just a fraction of an inch, away from my sides, keeping them relaxed, so that the next time one of them lunged, I could connect with not his nose, but the muzzle, you know, the area of his lips between his nose and his eyes, and that he would accidentally brush my fingers when he was lunging. And then I raised my arms out slightly more, and this was only an inch or two, and again, it was the shepherd that made first contact. The lab was still pretty excited and sounding very vicious. And as the minutes went by, I gradually let the shepherd graze my hand more toward his face and his neck. And he calmed down, and I was petting him. And then in a few more minutes, I was actually rolfing, giving his back a deep massage with my fingertips. And meanwhile, the lab on the other side was getting more and more vicious sounding, and he really wanted to tear me apart. And at one time, out of the corner of my eye, I could see that the lab had launched himself with an extra large lunge, and he was going to connect that time. Well, the shepherd must have seen it too, because he interrupted my rolfing his back and launched himself at the lab, caught the lab in his jaws by the neck.
Wow.
And basically shoved the lab aside.
Away.
And then the shepherd stood between me and the black lab, protecting me.
What a cool story.
And yet, the lab then started calming down a little bit, and I moved my hand out a little bit more. And then in a few more minutes, I was actually rolfing and massaging
both
dogs' backs.
Wow.
And about that time, the owner came out of the house and he says, "You better be careful. Those dogs will bite you." Of course, he didn't realize that the show was over. And they were both my friends by that point.
Oh, my.
And so the message might be that it takes two to make a conflict. And if one remains calm and just observes the other and intentionally feels calmness and feels that there may be not as much danger as there appears to be, and perhaps even sends a positive message to the dog or the person, like, "What a beautiful coat," or "How muscular, how vigorous, how energetic," or whatever, there may be some positive observation a person can make about the other party trying to create conflict. And if con means together and flict means to strike, if one person won't engage in the conflict and even contribute to it to escalate it, then perhaps that de-escalates what would be a conflict, and there is no conflict, but there can be more of a meeting of the minds or diffusing of the situation or a mutual understanding possible of some sort. So that's my dog story for the morning.
Wonderful. And let's all ruminate on that. And while we're ruminating on Ken's brilliant story and the moral thereof, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And then we continue with Jana Rosewood, Ken Holmes, Are You Still Kissing Frogs?, and conflict resolution right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Attention pet lovers. We all want the best for our pets, and that includes quality of life, longevity, and overall well-being. Raymaker's Nutrition has developed a line of patented products that have been shown to dramatically improve immune function, improve response to vaccines by over 400%, and help strengthen the systems in the body that fight cancer cells. Introducing Veterinary Immune Tabs. These chewable tabs are safe for dogs and cats. Find out more about how Veterinary Immune Tabs can improve your pet's longevity and state of wellness. Contact Dr. Bill Burlingame at BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com or call 425-903-1913. Do you know someone with an object hoarding or animal hoarding situation? BioClean Incorporated can help. At BioClean Incorporated, you're more than a customer. You're someone they want to help. Actually, disposing of so many items can be emotionally overwhelming, and the staff at BioClean Incorporated understands this. They design a unique process specifically to meet your needs. The team at BioClean helps determine which things are valuable to the recovering hoarder and absolutely essential, what items are appropriate to clean and keep, what things can be donated to charity, and finally, what can be thrown away. The BioClean Professional Cleanup Team are experts at eliminating odors, contaminants, and biohazards. They can arrange for any repairs, painting, or cleaning that will be needed so the house becomes habitable again. The entire staff at BioClean Incorporated combines compassion with expertise and professionalism. They understand taking that first step is the hardest. Call BioClean at 888-412-6300. That's 888-412-6300. Or visit BioCleanWA.com for more information. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Let's see, energetic matchmaker and co-author of Are You Still Kissing Frogs, Jana Rosewood, and her husband of 20 years, Ken Holmes is here. And we've been focusing on the human relationship, although we just talked about a human-dog relationship. And, of course, all the things that Jana and Ken talk about in their book about attracting right relationship could apply. You could apply the same thing, right, to you know, we want to get another animal for the family. It might be a dog or a cat, or you could start writing a list of what you want, which would help energetically connect you up with the right. And then you got to pay attention where you stop it. If you feel like you want to go to this shelter or that, or check out Craigslist or whatever, pay attention to your intuition, because that will lead you where you want to go. But as promised, we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about conflict resolution, because that's where the sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows come in. If you're thinking that a relationship solves all your problems and it's always sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, and love is here to stay, well, if you look at the statistics, most relationships don't last. They aren't for a lifetime. Yeah. And a lot of the things that start off great end up being problems and all of that. So what the heck do we do with, we already said it takes two to tango and have that conflict and the together striking. But how do we deal with conflict?
I think the first thing, one of the things that Ken brought up on the break, and I think it's important to bring up, is the whole concept of if you are in an abusive relationship, don't stay. Or take care of yourself in a way that removes you from harm's way.
Are we talking physical abuse or emotional abuse or both?
Either or.
Either or, you don't stay.
Well, it's not about don't stay, but don't stay in an environment where you're not protected. you know, if you're gonna stay in that relationship because you feel like it's not time to leave, then make sure you care for yourself. There was something else that came up in my mind when you were talking about how do you deal with conflict? And I think the first thing is the word that I talk about in the beginning of the book, responsibility, responsible. The only place that we have control in a relationship is what goes on between our ears. We don't have control of another person. The only thing we have, Ken just talked about working with dogs, and he stayed calm inside himself. That was the banquet table he was presenting. Those dogs could come and partake in the peace and the calmness inside himself, or they could actually, you know, attack.
Tear it apart.
Tear him apart. And Eckhart Tolle actually in his books talks about, you know, that you are responsible for a situation. Does it mean if someone's throwing a book across the room at your head that you stay and watch the book come at your face? No. You remove yourself from the environment. You take care of yourself and be able to read those signs and to remove yourself from those situations. So how do you deal with conflict? How do we deal with it? I think the first word is responsibility.
And do you have it? Do you have any conflict?
Oh,
I mean,
gosh,
or are you sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows for 20 years, and you attracted, because that a lot of us have that concept. You attract the right relationship.
Yeah, well,
that everything is great from now on. It's supposed to be happily ever after, isn't it?
You know, when you think about conflict, it doesn't just happen. It usually takes one or two people to start something. And there's a beginning of a situation that could develop into conflict, and it can be one person starting it, another person responding and escalating, and the other person escalating, the other person escalating the escalation.
Mm.
So there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's a peak of the confrontation. And so if we're really paying attention, if we think about it, there's oftentimes an emotional reaction, fear, anger, or some strong emotion at the very beginning of what might be called conflict. And if we're paying attention to what's going on in our own mind and our own body and with the other person's tone of voice and body language, we can see that there's a start of a situation that can develop into conflict. And if we're observant enough, before we get into the emotional reaction and start behaving based on our emotional reaction, if we are observant enough and can identify the feeling inside of ourselves that gives us a early warning sign that conflict is about to begin, then we are in a position of choice and we can actually choose how we want to respond to that other person. Right now we're talking about conflict with another person, but perhaps later we'll get into conflict within our own mind and our own thoughts. But if we're in a position to respond, we have the choice of, well, we can escalate it, we can de-escalate it, we can remain in neutral, we can see the best in the other person, we can do all kinds of things. But once we're into reaction and emotional knee-jerk reaction without thought, then that's what a lot of people think conflict is, and it doesn't just happen. It takes two people to actually make it happen. And, of course, once it does happen and there is conflict, there's lots of things that could be done to de-escalate it, to heal the injuries that may have occurred, the words that were spoken. Mm. For example, it used to be that Jean and I would have differences of opinion, and it might take quite a while, maybe a couple of days, for us to both cool down, but now we've learned that two steamrollers banging together, really nobody wins. It's just a waste of energy, and so it's kind of stupid to have conflict when you have two people that stick up for themselves. So,
well, I'm interested, and you said with you and John at some point, you said sometimes take a couple of days to work through things.
Used to.
I remember my mom, one of her kind of mantras about relationships to me was never go to bed angry. And which that was kind of like, well, okay. But I realized when I was married that I didn't really know how to do that.
Yeah.
Because I often went to bed angry. Yeah. We often went to bed angry.
I think what we learned to do was to own our own stuff that, for example, I, soon after a conflict, would be able to say, I apologize for my part in this conflict. I did this and this, and that didn't really, that wasn't very productive. So if I can apologize for my own part in this conflict, then that's a good first step. It doesn't say I'm wrong. It doesn't say the other person's right. It just says I contributed something to this conflict, and I apologize for my behavior, my words, my actions, or whatever. That's kind of a baby step toward what you were just describing, Martha.
Okay. I think, you know, one of the pieces, you know, we're sitting here in the studio and we have our listening audience thinking, well, you know, this is wonderful. We're calmly discussing how to respond in an adult way. I admit there are times where I haven't in responded. And early on in our relationship, I got hooked often. But the one key thing about the beauty of conflict resolution for me was that I could learn to trust that Ken was going to stay in this relationship. Because
no matter what,
one day I was really focusing on healing a piece of me, and all of a sudden my mother was in my face, in my mind, in my mind's eye, and my mother was there saying, if you don't like it, I'll just leave. And this was one of her mantras when I was younger, and I realized at that moment that I left a relationship, because I left the first two marriages because I was afraid of the conflict and dealing with it. Well, and it wasn't, those weren't the only reasons, but once I began to trust that Ken was going to stay, because he said to me, you know, because there have been times where I say, well, I what am I doing in this relationship? I'm just going to get out early on in our marriage. And then he said to me, well, I'm not a quitter.
I'm not leaving. And I didn't know I married a quitter.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
That's like throwing down the gauntlet. Are you a quitter?
Yeah. And he said, and now stay, let's stay and work this out.
What a brilliant man you got. You really attracted a great one, Shauna.
Stubborn is another word for it.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just so impressed with you as a male example. I mean, what a brilliant man.
One of the beauty of that conflict resolution was we became closer because we could trust that we could have
he wasn't leaving no matter what.
We could have a difference of opinion. What is it you say, Ken?
If two of us are absolutely identical in every way, then one of us is unnecessary.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that beauty of we grew closer because we could trust that we could have a conversation about our differences. Let's talk about how when we first decided that we were going to have a dance. We were going to learn how to choreograph.
Oh.
We hired someone to do a choreographed dance for our second wedding on September 18th.
We discovered that there were differences in learning styles.
Oh, man. And to respect the differences in our learning styles.
Visual is one style. Auditory is another. What you hear, you remember and learn best. And kinesthetic, meaning what you're doing with your body, is another way of learning. And some people have a combination. But Jean and I had different learning styles. Jana was kinesthetic, learned by doing. I was a numbers man and pattern recognition man.
Engineer.
And I basically had a totally different style, and I wanted to learn by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And Jana says, first we do this, and we move here, and then we do that.
Oh, we were struggling to get that choreographed dance together for our second wedding.
It was conflict.
And then we wake up one night in bed after we were first married, and I was... You have all the covers, and then Ken, what did...
Oh, boy. Well, I didn't want to turn on the light because turning on the light makes me wake up. So I was measuring this side with my hands and measuring that side so I'd know which way to flip the covers without turning on the light. But Jana just took a hold of the covers and flipped them up in the air like a pizza, and the covers went around and around and landed on the bed.
What
just
are you
fine.
Doing measuring with your hands? Give me that.
Give me the blanket, right?
Yeah, give me that thing. I'll spin it around. It'll be okay. So different styles. If we don't recognize that we do have different styles, we might even think, well, the other person doesn't understand me, can't communicate with me, is doing it wrong or whatever. And we're judging the other person, which really creates distance, and whether the other person recognizes it on a obvious level or not, telepathically, the other person recognizes that they're being judged and found not okay.
I think and think that conflict resolution was helpful that we were both on the growth path. Yeah. And we were both focused on our spirituality.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. And we were both, yeah, most of the time, I mean, like I talked about where I was like, ah, what am I doing here in this marriage and that kind mm-hmm. of thing. But mm-hmm. we were willing to stay and work it out.
Well, yeah, because I see one problem that happens is, like when you say it takes two to conflict, but in many relationships, you've got one person that gets really angry and goes off, and then the other person in that relationship doesn't respond or, you know, suppresses themselves and doesn't express themselves because the only way in their mind to keep the peace, so to speak,
right.
is not to respond and not to go there. And so that doesn't work. That doesn't work either. So
yeah.
We do have to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in the hour so we stay on time. And we will continue with our discussion about conflict resolution with Jana Rosewood and Ken Holmes, authors of Are You Still Kissing Frogs? Leap into Real Solutions to Attract Your Generally Committed Genuinely committed relationship. I don't know what's up with this generally stuff.
We're
genuinely
committed.
Yeah, are you generally committed? Yeah,
yeah. Most okay. of the time.
Ungenerally, sometimes. Anyway, so we will continue with them. www.rosewoodwisdom.com. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Margaret Peggy Kaler, branch manager at Westar Pacific Mortgage, shares your passion for animals, supporting animal rescue in the community. A charter member of Rotary Club of Duval and past president of the Duval Chamber of Commerce, Peggy shares your values and volunteers at the Cowgirl Spirit Rescue. Call Peggy at 206-947-0615 or visit PeggyKaler.com for your next mortgage. NMLS number 393352. Westar Pacific Mortgage. NMLS 1100211 and WA-CL number 1100211. WBA Westar Mortgage Corporation. NMLS 93243. An equal opportunity lender.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Are you still kissing frogs? Tired of sacrificing yourself in a relationship? Suffer from a broken heart? Let energy matchmaker and former frog kisser Gianna Rosewood help. For over a decade, Gianna has helped relationship seekers gain clarity in their ability to attract and maintain right relationship with a trustworthy partner. She co-authored the book with her husband of 20 years, Are You Still Kissing Frogs? Leap into Real Solutions to Attract Your Genuinely Committed Relationship. Gianna is available for private consultations. Contact Gianna today at rosewoodwisdom.com.
Did you know that there's a dog food available that has a pH factor of 7.0 to 7.5 that helps put more oxygen into your pet's body? A dog food that is high in calories for better nutrient absorption? Canine caviar is that food. Canine caviar is also flash cooked to maintain nutritional integrity and can help reduce shedding, hot spots, and tear stains. They use ingredients like human-grade dehydrated chicken, lamb, or venison, and add ingredients like sun-cured alfalfa and kelp, a rich source of vitamins and minerals making canine caviar 91 to 93% digestible. Canine caviar has been around since 1996 and is one of the best holistic pet foods available. You can find canine caviar at Bothell Feed Center, your modern-day feed store with the old farm charm. They're proud to be serving pet parents for over 30 years in the greater Bothell Snohomish area. You can also find canine caviar and other premium pet supplies at Sierra Fish and Pets, where they have been pleasing customers and pampering pets since 1972. Visit them today for all of your pet's needs at Renton Village, 601 South Grady Way, or at sierrafishandpets.com.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and sorry to say we're winding down our Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows edition of Animal World. Man, I'm gonna miss Leslie Gore. Ooh, I sure enjoyed that music. And you know, well, but, you know, we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, on Alternative Talk, a.m. 1150. And I'll have 2 weeks to get over it because Kathy's taking over the show next week for Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And speaking of great music, you know, Kathy, you and Christy played a little clip of it in your last show. You know, the happy song, Farrell, what's his name? Is it Farrell Williams?
That's his name.
And the happy song. I love that song.
That was a fun.
Yeah, I love that song, and I actually, when it first came out, I was like, oh, I would take over that music and use it for theme music, but except that with that TV show, The Good Morning Ramirez, they must be paying a fortune to use it. I figured, well, I really can't use it because it really is theirs, so, oh well, we stay with Red Robin. But today we're sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, and trying to figure out how we keep that love is here to stay, and that's by understanding conflict resolution. But part of what I'm kind of ruminating with me as you two are talking, Jana Rosewood and Ken Holmes in the studio here, who are the experts on the subject and are able to practice what they preach because they've been together for 20 years. And when you're talking about the conflict that you said it was, used to happen and it was early on in the relationship because apparently you reached a balance in knowing how to deal with all of this. But I'm wondering when you're talking about the kind of the rules per se in terms of conflict and not escalating and being able to express yourself, but then talking about it and apologizing for your part in any conflict sort of thing. To do all of that effectively, can, you know, I'm thinking about Debbie and her who called in earlier in the show and has a partner who seems unavailable and they've been together on and off 5 different times and it's just not working. I mean, can you really conflict resolve? I mean, can you really work through conflict responsibly with a partner who's not committed and not in there with you? I mean,
well, I think if you're in a relationship, I'm just going to respond to that in this moment. If you're in a relationship where you're with a partner who isn't working with you, then the biggest thing you can do and the only thing you can do is resolve the conflict inside of you so you can get clear. And that is where you would have to go move to. I'm in a relationship with a partner who's not on the same page. Now, I'm not sure whether to stay or go. But what you need to do is really resolve the conflict inside of you and get your help if that person is unwilling to be to go to help with you. And I'd have to say for the 20 years that we've been in relationship, I've constantly worked on myself in terms of whether it's prayer, meditation, working with a personal growth person or whatever, so that I can resolve the conflicts inside of me. I mean, we talk in the book about early on, it was like, and sometimes Ken, a little bit, it can be like he can be teasing me and then all of a sudden he turns into one of my 5 brothers.
Oh.
And you know, I can't, for the day, it's like energetically I'm not in balance and I'm not able to handle whatever he's throwing at me. But most of the time now I can dance and laugh with him because I know he's just teasing and the teasing is meant in good humor. And sometimes early on, I don't know if still I became his mother, but I think he's defined that I really am not like
especially
him.
In the kitchen when I was chopping vegetables not the right way.
Oh.
And I'm really clear on that now, too. I think that he's really been able to discriminate that I'm not his mother and he can do what he chooses because he in his mind, his filters were him being in. Your mother would send you to the grocery store when you were little and she would give you a list and he'd get all confused and it was really tangled up in his mind that I was his mother.
Well, and I talk about a lot with people and their with dogs and that dogs tend to generalize, assume, and flash back. Mm-hmm. And especially like relationship between kids and dogs. I'm often called in when the dog's already biting the kid. Mm-hmm. And the biggest parents that cause the biggest problems are the ones that are trying to be responsible and they're trying to teach the kid to be gentle with the dog. So whenever the kid's pulling on the dog or hitting the dog, they're yelling at the kid and telling him to be gentle. But from the dog's point of view, it's like, oh my God, I'm in great danger. You know, this kid is dangerous. So the dog, you know, develops a bad feeling about the kid. And I'm telling the people, you have to be concerned about how the dog is perceiving what's going on.
Right.
So you do a jolly routine. Oh boy, boy, you know, Tommy's hitting you with the stick. Isn't that fun? Oh boy. And then you gently remove Tommy and have a curtain talk in another room. But the dog had a positive association. So is it the same with humans? Like Jana flashes, Ken's teasing, but you're having a, and you're energetically flashing back on your brothers, which wasn't a good thing. When you're telling Ken how to chop vegetables, he's energetically flashing back on his mother and the shopping list and not doing it right. And is that part of what gets us into trouble?
Oh, yeah. And it would be wonderful to say, oh, I have it all together. I never get hooked and I'm never in conflict. But we're human. Here we are. It's going to go up and down, and sometimes in balance for a period of time. And so, yes, if we can recognize those clues, those keys, I mean, we maybe stomped out of the kitchen then and we're angry for a couple of days or whatever. But now we've learned to communicate. And you know, like Ken doesn't stack the dishes in the dishwasher like I like it. But I learned to shut my mouth because I want him to fill the dishwasher. Thank
You'd
you
rather
very
have
much.
Him do the dishes. Yeah,
yeah, go ahead and dump those dishes in however you can so I don't have to do it, you know. Ken, you have something to say.
Yeah, you know, when on the subject of conflict, the thought just kind of flew out of my head here. I like the dishwasher story so much that the thought just flew out of my head.
Uh-huh.
But
that's a good one, though, because often we want our partner to do something for us or to do a chore or whatever, but we want him to do it our way.
Yeah.
And that's a big one in relationships, to being able to let go and letting the person do it their way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of tools, a lot of simple tools that all of us probably know about if we can just remember to use them when we sense a conflict beginning. Mm-hmm. For example, when one person is saying something that's maybe a little hurtful or critical or maybe even wrong, there's something called I statements, like I feel hurt when I perceive, not when you say, but when I perceive that you do this or you say that. I would,
instead of saying you are beating me up and I,
yeah, instead of you did this to me, which
uh-huh.
means
I
mentally
feel.
I'm a victim in my own head,
mm-hmm.
but just expressing I feel when I perceive, meaning it's all about me, it's not about you. And what I'd prefer to have happen is this, but it's just a choice. So that's an I statement. That's a way of de-escalating conflict.
Mm.
And another thing, of course, is to be aware of our own emotional reactions and the tendency people have to escalate our responses so that the two people escalate to a crisis and a shouting match or whatever. Another is, if it's a committed relationship and both people realize that they're committed, then maybe there's less of a tendency to drag in the kitchen sink, so to speak, in an argument and stay with the issues and to deal with the issues in a more objective way rather than an accusatory way.
Well, that's something that is common in arguments in relationships, is you're starting out, you're arguing about putting the dishes in the dishwasher, but pretty soon you're saying, and you don't take the garbage out right either, and you don't do this, and you don't mm-hmm. do that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
So there's some simple
stick with the subject, huh?
There's simple techniques that people can use to de-escalate a conflict before it really gets too serious, but
mm-hmm.
requires paying attention from the beginning.
I think, too, you know, Martha said stick with the conflict and then the kitchen sink thing. I think what happens mm-hmm. between the two of us is I take a responsibility. I think we clean up as we go, so there isn't the kitchen sink for us.
Oh, okay. So you resolve when an issue comes up, you work with it until it's resolved.
Right.
So there isn't old business to dirty laundry to wash later.
If conflict or something happens in our communication, I kind of track back to what happened in my day or what happened that I didn't resolve with Ken. And then I look at that and I go, okay, well, this was this. And usually, most of the time, it isn't even about Ken. Sometimes it is, and I didn't speak up. And then something else happened, and then it built. And then something else. And so I track it back in my mind and say, okay, this is the core of it, and I can let that go. And also, you know, maybe I had a bad day and I say, well, this was stressful and this stress was building and this stress. And then I discuss it with Ken, and I, instead of being a closed book, I communicate the stresses that are going on for me. Okay, this isn't about you. It's this is what's going on in my life. I apologize for, you know, being pushy or controlling or whatever words that, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I apologize for being a growly bear. It's not about you. I've had this and this and this other stuff happen, and I didn't deal with those situations effectively. Sorry I growled at you. And that kind of diffuses things because I'm taking...
Because you're taking responsibility for it.
Taking responsibility and ownership of
and
my
And you also
part.
Let the other one know that you're not blaming them. For
right.
It.
Yeah. We're pretty much an open book. Our dinners are, we sit down and discuss what we, our personal growth experiences.
And that's
for
what it comes into attracting a relationship to a person that's available.
Right. Just sit down and talk about our day and what goes on and what we learned and how we dealt with situations. We talk a lot about that.
And much of it is personal growth stories, which we both enjoy. Like, I had this happen and I tried this and it didn't work. I was in this situation and I did or said that, and it seemed very effective. And so we are learning from each other. And so dinner isn't just about how's the weather and how's the bank account.
Uh-huh.
It's really continued personal growth every day.
And I suppose you had to master the being able to actually listen to the other person. Because how often are we sitting and the other one person's talking, but the other person is busy thinking of what they're going to say back instead of listening what's really going on.
That's right.
So there's a lot of communication. Now, unfortunately, we are out of time, and I can't change that. But, you know, we're getting into a lot of good stuff here, and it seems to me that now that, Ken, that you've joined us, that this kind of lays the groundwork that we need to do this again.
Maybe we need to do one on listening.
I think we need to pick up, next time we need to pick up where we've left off, because it's becoming clear that human relationships also have a reflection in animal relationships and human-animal relationships, and we can touch on both as we go through, but maybe next time we pick up on the conflict resolution, go through that, and then get to the listening, and maybe we can get some listener feedback, too, about what's going on and what they want more help with. But I think we're just scratching the iceberg.
What
or tip
are you
the
laughing
iceberg.
About there?
Here's somebody that wrote in about the dishwasher. They say, Jana, you can just redo the dishes later the way you want them.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah, but thank you for doing it. Yeah, because I think you know, what is it that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
Yeah,
and pricing. But anyway, thank you so much. Jana Rosewood, Ken Holmes, co-authors of Are You Still Kissing Frogs? Leap into real solutions to attract your genuinely committed relationship. Find out more on www.rosewoodwisdom.com, and we'll look forward to next time.
Thanks for having us on your program, Martha. It was really enjoyable.
Well, and thanks for singing me happy birthday. That was cool. All right, and next week, last Sunday of the month, Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. It's also a Kathy and Christy Sunday. Kathy's in the studio. Christy will be on the East Coast at some animal thing, but she'll call in and report on site. And Peggy Kaler from West Star Mortgage will be in the studio with Kathy. And they'll check in with all our regular shelters and rescues. Also talk about the mortgage industry and what's going on with that. And then Cowgirl Spirit Horse Rescue is Peggy's heart. And, of course, Kathy Touches. So thank you, Mike. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Jana and Ken.
And welcome. Thank you, Martha.
And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family. And always be kind to open your heart. Share your love with all living things, and we'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.